Chapter 70. World of good to hear the pilgrims abuse each other too. We took an unworthy satisfaction in seeing them fall out, now and then, because it showed that they were only poor human people like us, after all. So we all rode down to Magdala, while the gnashing of teeth waxed and waned by turns, and harsh words troubled the holy calm of Galilee. Lest any man think I mean to be ill-natured, when I talk about our pilgrims as I have been talking, I wish to say in all sincerity that I do not. I would not listen to lectures from men I did not like and could not respect, and none of these can say I ever took their lectures unkindly, or was restive under the infliction, or failed to try to profit by what they said to me. They are better men than I am. I can say that honestly. They are good friends of mine, too, and besides, if they did not wish to be stirred up occasionally in print, why in the mischief did they travel with me? They knew me. They knew my liberal way that I like to give, and take when it is for me to give, and other people to take. When one of them threatened to leave me in Damascus, when I had the cholera, he had no real idea of doing it. I know his passionate nature and the good impulses that underlie it. And did I not overhear Church, another pilgrim, say he did not care who went or who stayed, he would stand by me till I walked out of Damascus on my own feet, or was carried out in a coffin, if it was a year? And do I not include Church every time I abuse the pilgrims, and would I be likely to speak ill-naturedly of him? I wish to stir them up, and make them healthy, that is all. We had left Capernaum behind us. It was only a shapeless ruin. It bore no semblance to a town, and had nothing about it to suggest that it had ever been a town. But all desolate and unpeopled as it was illustrious ground. From it sprang that tree of Christianity whose broad arms overshadow so many distant lands today. After Christ was tempted of the devil in the desert, he came here and began his teachings. And during the 3 or 4 years he lived afterward, this place was his home almost altogether. He began to heal the sick, and his fame soon spread so widely that sufferers came from Syria and beyond Jordan, and even from Jerusalem, several days' journey away, to be cured of their diseases. Here he healed the centurion's servant, and Peter's mother in Dashlah, and multitudes of the lame and the blind and persons possessed of devils. And here, also, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He went into a ship with his disciples, and when they roused him from sleep in the midst of a storm, he quieted the winds, and lulled the troubled sea, to rest with his voice. He passed over to the other side, a few miles away, and relieved 2 men of devils, which passed into some swine. After his return he called Matthew from the receipt of customs, performed some cures, and created scandal by eating with publicans and sinners. Then he went healing and teaching through Galilee, and even journeyed to Tyre and Sidon. He chose the 12 disciples, and sent them abroad, to preach the new gospel. He worked miracles in Bethsaida and Chorazin villages 2 or 3 miles from Capernaum. It was near one of them that the miraculous draught of fishes is supposed to have been taken, and it was in the desert places near the other that he fed the thousands by the miracles of the loaves and fishes. He cursed them both, and Capernaum also, for not repenting, after all the great works he had done in their midst, and prophesied against them. They are all in ruins, now, which is gratifying to the pilgrims. For, as usual, they fit the eternal words of God to the evanescent things of this earth. Christ, it is more probable, referred to the people, not their shabby villages of wigwams. He said it would be sad for them at the day of judgment, and what business have mud hovels at the day of judgment? It would not affect the prophecy in the least. It would neither prove it, or disprove it, if these towns were splendid cities now instead of the almost vanished ruins they are. Christ visited Magdala, which is nearby Capernaum, and he also visited Caesarea Philippi. He went up to his old home at Nazareth, and saw his brothers Joses, and Judas, and James, and Simon, those persons who, being own brothers to Jesus Christ, one would expect to hear mentioned sometimes, yet whoever saw their names in a newspaper, or heard them from a pulpit, whoever inquires what manner of youths they were, and whether they slept with Jesus, played with him, and romped about him, quarreled with him concerning toys and trifles, struck him in anger, not suspecting what he was? Whoever wonders what they thought when they saw him come back to Nazareth a celebrity, and looked long at his unfamiliar face to make sure, and then said, "It is Jesus." Who wonders what passed in their minds when they saw this brother, who was only a brother to them, however much he might be to others a mysterious stranger who was a god, and that stood face to face with God above the clouds, doing strange miracles with crowds of astonished people for witnesses. Who wonders if the brothers of Jesus asked him to come home with them, and said his mother and his sisters were grieved at his long absence, and would be wild with delight to see his face again? Whoever gives a thought to the sisters of Jesus at all? Yet he had sisters, and memories of them must have stolen into his mind often, when he was ill-treated among strangers, when he was homeless, and said he had not where to lay his head, when all deserted him, even Peter, and he stood alone among his enemies. Christ did few miracles in Nazareth, and stayed but a little while. The people said, "This the Son of God. Why, his father is nothing but a carpenter. We know the family. We see them every day. Are not his brothers named so-and-so, and his sisters so-and-so, and is not his mother the person they call Mary? This is absurd." He did not curse his home, but he shook its dust from his feet and went away. Capernaum lies close to the edge of the Little Sea, in a small plain some 5 miles long, and a mile or two wide, which is mildly adorned with olanders which look all the better contrasted with the bald hills, and the howling deserts which surround them, but they are not as deliriously beautiful as the books paint them. If one be calm and resolute, he can look upon their comeliness and live. One of the most astonishing things that have yet fallen under our observation is the exceedingly small portion of the earth from which sprang the now flourishing plant of Christianity. The longest journey our Savior ever performed was from here to Jerusalem, about 100 to 120 miles. The next longest was from here to Sidon, say about 60 or 70 miles. Instead of being wide apart as American appreciation of distances would naturally suggest, the places made most particularly celebrated by the presence of Christ are nearly all right here in full view, and within cannon shot of Capernaum. Leaving out two or three short journeys of the Savior, he spent his life, preached his gospel, and performed his miracles within a compass no larger than an ordinary county in the United States. It is as much as I can do to comprehend this stupefying fact. How it wears a man out to have to read up 100 pages of history every 2 or 3 miles, for verily the celebrated localities of Palestine occur that close together. How wearily, how bewilderingly they swarm about your path. In due time we reached the ancient village of Magdala. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.